This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
We are talking with Joseph Scott Morgan on this segment of the program. He is a forensic scientist and distinguished scholar of applied forensics at Jacksonville State University. Welcome again back to the program. Last time we were talking, we were discussing the mindset and the reasons why Koberger chose to go and get his education in Pullman, Washington. Of all places to go, why did he go there? And how active was he in being a part of that community prior to his actually moving there? Do you think we're going to see an answer to that when the forensic information comes out of his digital devices, possibly seeing online stalking maybe of the victims prior to him actually being there, and then the real thing happening once his feet touched the ground?
Yeah, I think that it's going to be a treasure trove, more than likely. You know, the physical evidence is where I kind of dance in medical legal death investigation, and I'm fascinated to see that. But I'm as equally fascinated to see, you know, kind of methodologies as to from the digital side of the house, my colleagues that are, you know, that practice digital forensics, kind of what their view is or was vis-a-vis the information that they dug up as a result of, you know, I still have the memory of them making a big deal out of taking, and I know that this is a media thing, media trope, if you will,
sure,
of them taking that, you know, the tower computer out of his apartment there. Yeah. And thinking, you know, what, and it's not just the phone, all right? It's not just the tracking of the car. It's like, what was he doing in the wee small hours of the night, you know, at his computer? You know, where is he digging into? And a lot has been made of message boards and all that sort of stuff. I'm not so much interested in that as I am search histories and all those sorts of things. Because, you know, one of the big things, and, you know, many of us in forensics kind of giggled at this, that he's some kind of criminal mastermind from a forensic standpoint. At best, he's interested in the things that maybe we do in forensics, but make no doubt about it. You know, he's no forensic scientist.
Yeah. He's about as educated as watching a YouTube video.
Yeah, exactly. And that's just, and I hate to sound, you know, I don't want to sound arrogant about that, but I'm just saying, no. You know, look, there's a reason we practice all these years
yes.
to do what we do.
There's a reason people have
that. You're not going to absorb it, you know, yes. in that period of time.
Yes. I mean, it's something to be respected. That's, you know, I think we lose that today in our society half the time of people not respecting someone's area of expertise and what expertise you have for having those years that have been put in versus someone who watches a YouTube video, for example. Let's talk about the alibi that they have pitched out there. I found it extremely laughable. I even joked the previous week before it came out, like, are they just going to say he was driving around at night? Well, yes, that's exactly what they ended up saying. How is that going to play into this? Giving that sort of an alibi, to me, it reads as though if they're going to throw that out there, they're going to be going after the cell phone triangulation data.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that
you're right on
yeah, money. That's exactly, I mean, that's there is evidence showing him in this area, and they're not refuting it. They're just saying he just didn't kill them. He was just out driving. How accurate is that cell phone triangulation data? How are they going to try and poke holes in this? And how do you see the prosecution standing up and saying, no, this data is pretty damn accurate?
Yeah, and it is. And, you know, I cover cases all the time in the news media, on my podcast as well,
yeah.
You know, involving cell phone data. And it is, it's quite terrifying, you know, for a private citizen, but we have to warm up to the idea that everywhere we go, we are tracked, you know, because of these damn things that we carry in our pockets. And it can track you wherever you go. And dependent upon the skill set that is applied, going back to assess those points of contact, points of triangulation. And, you know, they talk about things like geofencing and all these sorts of things to try to lock down a specific area. I think that those numbers, while not quite as impressive as DNA, just in the sheer size, they are still very impressive. It's stuff that can't be argued with most of the time because you have a very specific data set that is assigned to you. You know, if you think about it, it's essentially the DNA of the phone. And so it's going to follow you wherever you go. I think, again, the defense looking at this, if they're putting this forward as an alibi, that's a point of attack that they're looking at. This is the area that we can probably justify. We can say that we, you know, we can just merely say that, well, he's a night owl. He has trouble sleeping. You know, he's a PhD student. His mind is always running. He's very thoughtful. He's bright and he's introspective and he goes out just to clear his mind. You know, well, how, what's his common route? Well, they're going to talk about, and one of the things that you do by opening up this can of worms is that if they do have this geo-tracking on him, if they do have this ability to pinpoint locations, well, how frequently does he do it? And where does he go when he does it? You know, it, can you put this ring down and you can kind of superimpose it, you know, from a behavior standpoint? Well, he travels the same route all of the time, all of the time. And they can, if that's the alibi for that night, just think if the investigators, because prosecution has this information now too, they say, oh, well, we've got his data going back all this distance in time as well. And look, if you superimpose these rings on top of one another, you can see that he kind of follows the same route. He never deviates from it. You know, he's stopping in these locations. It's pretty powerful stuff. So we'll see what they have, you know, as time goes by and see what they reveal.
And I don't know what exactly that would reveal. In one way, if he is following this same route that ends up going by the house, considering his cell phone was picked up on the home's Wi-Fi, does that show more likely that he did this? Because there, if there is a pattern of behavior of driving that route and then this route, this one night, obviously something was different. Does that look more incriminating or does that look like, well, he just goes this route quite frequently and this night it was no different than the others?
I think that more than likely this is going to be an element, and they'll talk about this in terms of totality of circumstances is what they'll say. This combined with this gives you what we believe is your suspect that you see sitting before you in court here, the accused. We think he did this, and these are the reasons, because he's developing these patterns. Now, it all depends on how well the prosecution puts his case together and can try to sell it to that jury. And also, what can his defense do in order to kind of knock this down? You know, as you said, they said that we can punch holes all in that data. Okay, well, let's see what you got. Because they're saying that they can do it. That means that they're going to bring their own experts onto the stand, I would think.
Yeah.
And they're going to begin to talk about the nature of his electronic behavior. And there's multiple areas in here, because we can talk first off about the phone, and they'll talk about those behaviors. And then, but that's secondary to any kind of digital searches and any kind of connectivity that he might have on social media. And does he have aliases out there too? There's so many different ways, Tony, that we can go in this particular circumstance, just in this one area of electronics, that it's a bit overwhelming. And I think that you're going to see a real fight in this area.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.